podcast where two best friends force each other to watch movies they wouldn't ordinarily pick and then see if they're still friends when it's all over. I'm Sam.
I'm Mandy.
Are we still friends?
Yeah.
It seems like you were like, I'm Mandy. Microphone smack.
Again? I didn't do anything.
Uh-huh.
You keep telling me you're annoying. You can see me. You didn't do anything.
Maybe I'm just hearing noises. Maybe I'm just possessed.
Well, yeah, but that it doesn't solve my question now.
No, doesn't. Doesn't solve mine either. So I guess we can conclude after this bickering that we're still friends. Mm-hmm. This is friend bickering.
This is the friend bickering. This is the friend bickering. Non-friend bickering doesn't happen on microphone. I was gonna say on camera, but no, this is on microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
We stop audio recording podcast. When we fight. Yeah.
Yeah, right. We hit mute. Welcome to another review of our stats.
We've made it to 100 episodes.
Which means we have 100 episodes worth of stats.
It's fucking crazy, y'all. Like, it our is. Spreadsheet has so many tabs, and so many color schemes.
it's a lot of color schemes. It's not cohesive at all. It does not.
No, each tab has its own color theme. Yeah, and none of them work.
none of them work in that tab, and then all the tabs together, it's still a mess. Mm-hmm. But basically, I'm a huge stats nerd. I'm a big fan of being like, oh, I want to keep tabs on this. I'd be curious to know how many times this happens. So we have some of them, some stats that I was like, you know, we should record that, or that would be interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm curious.
There have been categories and things like that, like, we haven't kept up with.
Yeah.
Like, genre, because sometimes genre is hard to define in a single
category. I think it's a pretty safe bet to say that, like, you're gonna pick a romantic movie, and I'm gonna pick a comedy movie. Like, we're pretty predictable in that, right? But we have some of our stats that we want to review, because now we have 100 episodes, a nice round number, to talk about, broadly and specifically. I was just telling Mandy, with my job, I do a lot of Excel spreadsheets, and on occasion, I do dream of Excel spreadsheets. Just, you know, you spend a day working on something, and it's just in your brain. Like, I also have Animal Crossing dreams. It makes sense.
Oh, yes.
See?
Yep. No, I do.
It's not just my weird quarantine dreams. So,
it's they're crazy. Quarantine dreams have been apps of fucking movies.
Oh, they're weird. I had a really weird one like a month ago where I gave like this vehement passion speech like Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society. It was that like inspiring. And it was about joining my high school academic decathlon team. And I was just trying to get people to join. And I, like, woke up in the middle of the night and just, like, was rolling over, like, I'm 30. And then, like, rolled over and went back to sleep. Like, that was, I don't know. I don't know why. That was a thing that happened. All right. So we're going to take a break from watching movies. We are recording this immediately after our 100th episode. So we're a little movied out. We've watched 200 movies up to this point. More if you include bonus episodes.
Yep.
More if you include watching the wrong movies.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do a relatively quick review of our stats, and we're going to discuss some stuff about our movies, which I think will be pretty fun. And
we're going to go over a ton of stuff, but I think one of the things I'm most looking forward to are revisiting the ties. We did this on our last review of when we did the review of 1 through 50. Did we change any? Maybe one or two.
I don't remember if we changed any. I think we talked about changing them and then just never did. So we are going to make some definitive changes and see how we feel about that, which is pretty exciting. So let's get into it. First, we're going to talk about the categories and our winnings. Every week, at the end of every episode, we pick a winner. And when we were recording in the same room together, the winner would get to pick the category for the next week. But now that we have been recording remotely for over a year, categories are random. The jar gives us what it gives us. And
the jar giveth and the jar taketh away.
Yes. All hail the mighty jar.
Pray to the jar.
So the winnings are mostly arbitrary. You get a week's worth of glory. You know, you get a week to be like, I won, and then you're done.
Well, even I would say even more realistically, you get like 10 minutes. And then we go straight into talking about the production of the next episode.
If we want to seriously be realistic, it's more of like we decide who wins. If I win, I go, oh, yeah, I win. And then the microphone turns off. And then I don't care. Like, it's it's done. So I talk a big talk about winning.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
But it's mostly irrelevant to
me. Walk out of the so I record in our bedroom. I walk out of the bedroom. I tell Anthony who won. And then I tell him what the category is for next week. Like, there really isn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's gone from being this big trash talk game in the early episodes to now it's like, oh, you won, good job, let's go. And like,
yeah.
Go.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, oh, you win, glad that's over, let's do something else. Yeah. But we still do use it as kind of like a card in your back.
It's a metric.
Pocket.
It's a metric.
It is a metric. It is a way to maintain consistency, but it's also something that we pull out. Like, I don't do it very often, but I can be like, yeah, well, I have one more than you, so maybe I'm the authority here. More often than not, it's in jest, but that's really the only time that comes
again,
up.
Again, we talked about this on the last episode. I know when you're doing something to be a dick and when you're doing something in serious. Like, yes. I can tell the difference. So, like,
yes.
And you know me, like, I'm competitive. We talked about this. I like to win. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of it, I don't get upset.
Right.
Like, there are times where I have, but it's been about something else, not necessarily about the loss.
Yeah, if I'm getting mad about not winning, it's not necessarily because I want the win. It's because I think you're misunderstanding the movie.
And that you disagree hard with what I'm saying.
With your opinion. Yeah. It's more of a my opinion is your opinion is wrong over I want the win.
Yeah. So it's never about the win. It's about
Mandy,
being right.
Mandy, why don't you tell us about do a recap. I know we did it at the end of the last episode. Mm-hmm. But do a recap of where we currently stand. How many wins I have, how many wins you have, and how many ties.
Yeah, so as of episode 100, yes. You have won 59 times.
Nice.
I have won 27 times, mm-hmm. And we've tied 14.
Nice.
So that's, I mean, you're insane, first of all.
Thank you.
With almost 60% of the wins.
Yeah.
Which might go up by the end of this episode, once we discuss.
I mean, to be fair, I'm a little disappointed that number should be higher. I don't do 60% work, but I'll take it.
I do.
You're like, 60? That's not failing.
I'm at 27. No, but I will say, my wins have increased significantly since the second half of the podcast.
Yeah, since
once I started...
Like, giving a shit?
Yeah.
giving a little bit more of a shit.
Yeah, once I stopped giving you shitty movies for the sake of giving you shitty movies...
Your score increased dramatically,
yes. So I am playing a little bit of catch up, but...
Yeah.
And I will say I've been better, but I'm still picking... I got some shitty picks in my history, so...
Sure, same. I mean, we also had a category, episode 3 was worst movie you've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So we went into that one knowing we weren't going to enjoy that week. Do you have any controversial wins you want to talk about? Or wins or losses that you're still a bit bitter about? Because, I'm still a little bitter about the Maltese Falcon. Not going to lie. It's never really going to go away.
You know?
I mean, I'm going to, I accept it. It's a thing that happened, but I don't love it. I don't love it. I know, I'm just quickly scrolling through. That's really the only one that stands out to me.
You know, Death to Smoochie, I'm still a little bitter about, as well as Kill Bill. I think Kill Bill I'm more bitter about.
What episode numbers
was Murderous Girls?
Oh, but
and I gave you Jennifer's Body because of my complete misunderstanding of the movie while we were watching it. Because after we had talked about it, I understood it more, and I gave you the win. But I'm still thinking about it, and I'm still thinking Kill Bill should have won.
I mean, I'm gonna disagree. Because I had a strong visceral reaction against Kill Bill, but yeah, that's a fair, that's fair. And then also Death to Smoochie, that was another one that, like, I know you like dark comedies, and that one just went too far.
Did it for me. For you? Yeah.
Yeah, way too far. And it wasn't the issue of seeing Edward Norton and Robin Williams in those roles. It wasn't like, oh my god, that's Mork from Ork doing that. I can't, this doesn't compute.
No, it was the subject matter.
Yeah, and it got really fucking dark.
Mm-hmm.
Darker than I like dark comedies. You were like, it's darker than that. And even then I was like, oh shit, it's darker than that.
Yeah.
So I couldn't.
That's one of my darker, favorites.
Yeah. And
it is a favorite.
I know that you really like Death to Smoochie, and I love Empire Records.
Yeah.
So there was no way, if I had enjoyed Death to Smoochie more, I think if it hadn't went too far, I probably would have given it to you. But I love Empire Records, and the fact that, like, I was physically uncomfortable after Death to Smoochie, I couldn't do it.
Okay.
No, couldn't do it. Okay. I can see how you would get mad, though, because that was 2 weeks back to back.
Yeah.
That was episodes 34 and 35.
Yeah,
that's
best worst movie. I'm fine with, because Mommy Dead and Dearest was a ride.
A roller coaster.
It was a ride, and I'm still on. I'm still on it.
Oh yeah. Another one for me, Unforgiven and the Ides of March.
Oh yeah.
I will never, ever, ever, like,
you will not forgive me for that.
As much I admit that I'm petty, and I admit that I'm pretentious, and you know, we all know my bad qualities. We have 100 episodes to prove them. But the fact that you would not vote for Unforgiven, which is it's an infinitely better movie than The Ides of March. You picked The Ides of March because Ryan Gosling's in it, and he's cute. No, I don't want to vote for Unforgiven. Like, you had, I don't think that was your exact reason.
No.
But you had a really superficial reason for not voting for Unforgiven.
It was because it was because I didn't give a shit about Clint Eastwood.
It had nothing to do with Clint Eastwood. The category was movie with a director in it.
Yeah, but wasn't Clint Eastwood the director?
Yes, Clint Eastwood was the director.
That's what I mean.
But the movie wasn't about Clint Eastwood.
No,
it wasn't a biopic of Clint Eastwood. You were just like, yeah, it's not really my thing. Ryan Gosling's cute. I'll pick that one. And I'm just like, you're ignoring the story. You're ignoring the cinematography. You're ignoring the music. You're ignoring the acting. You're ignoring the direction. You're ignoring all of this because you're like, nah. And that was like, that's episode what number
51.
Now? 51. I was 51. Like, we just did fucking 50 of these.
No, it was episode 50. Because one is...
No, it's 51. Episode 51. It just... Nope.
Yeah, and I'm gonna... I mean... I literally couldn't tell you what that movie's about. I have forgotten it hard.
Unforgiven?
Yes. It just, no. that one, I don't necessarily like Ides of March either. I just really didn't like Unforgiven. And I really don't think I could tell you why. I just didn't like it. I really didn't enjoy it.
But when we talked about it, you didn't say that you didn't like it.
I don't remember our conversation about it.
When we talked about it, you said that it was fine. You didn't love it, but you didn't hate it. You had a very middle of the road. It's not your type of movie. And I gave you that. But I remember because it was like, it hurt my soul.
It was
a
knife in
your
heart. I know.
Yeah. No, but like your argument was literally like, yeah, it's not really, it was, you did it so nonchalantly that I was just like, oh, you don't realize you're piercing my heart. You were just like, yeah, it's not really my thing. I'm going to pick the one with the cute guy in it. No. Like, I can't. Like, that hurts my soul. Because, like, since then, we've had discussions for movies that were like, well, this one fits the category more, even though I don't like it as much.
Yeah.
And you were like, for that one, they both fit the bare bones of the category. It had to be a movie with a director in it. Clint Eastwood was in it. George Clooney was in it. So then we had to go off of what movie we liked better or what movie was a better movie. Mm-hmm. And I gave my argument for both. Like, I liked Unforgiven better than Ides of March. All I remember from Ides of March is someone had an abortion and they had to hide it. Yes, I don't remember anything else about that movie. Clint Eastwood and Unforgiven will be with me forever. That is, like, if you are ever going to think of a Clint Eastwood movie, you don't remember the plot of Unforgiven, but you remember you've seen Unforgiven. And there are a lot of movies on this list you don't remember you've seen. So, I mean, we don't have to get into the reconsidering ties part right now, because yeah. I could wax poetic on Unforgiven. But if we're talking, like, controversial wins, that one, the fact that you, like, I knew that you, like, you partially didn't do it because you didn't want me to win, and that's fine. And you partially, you know, like, it's not your movie, and you didn't like, I understand your reasonings, but, like, the fact that you couldn't pick an objectively better movie over your movie because you're like, eh, not my thing. I'm just like, you're missing the entire point of this podcast. It's fine.
Well, and here's the thing on that. When you say objectively a better movie, that might be true. Mm-hmm. The question is not, is it an objectively better movie? It's which movie we like better.
And even then, you were like, oh, well, like, you were like, I don't love Ides of March, but Westerns aren't really my thing.
Yeah.
And that was really, we were talking about in our last episode, how we've kind of grown into the podcast.
Yeah.
So, like, if that same scenario came up now, episode 106. We would have a different
conversation now.
It would 100%, that's why we're reconsidering our ties. Yes. But, like, that one, I remember, like, we had done a stats episode, and we had rehashed all of this stuff, and I was like, all right, I'm going to make her watch this really beautiful movie, and Morgan Freeman's there for some reason, and it's going to be a great time. And you, like, and it was like, what are we even doing? Like, in my brain, it was like, what are we even doing? Why are we doing this? If that was going to be a point we talked last week or in the last episode about rage quitting, like, that would have been my rage quit moment. Because I was like, we were just on the same page. What the fuck happened within a week? It's been 6 days.
I will be completely honest with you. I don't like Westerns. I don't see myself ever picking a Western to win. And it has nothing to do with the movie. I just can't see myself doing it. Mm-hmm. And, like, yeah, I just don't. I think it just gives me it puts me in too much of a bad mental place to enjoy
a Western.
No, to enjoy it. To watch a Western, it puts me in a bad mental place and I just can't watch it.
I don't think Unforgiven is meant to be enjoyed. It's not a positive movie. It's not an uplifting movie. It's a revenge movie. I understand all of your objections for the movie. I 100% get that. And in the first half of this podcast, episodes 1 through 50, I was a real dick about it. Where I was like, if I don't absolutely 100% love this movie, I'm not voting for it. I get it. I feel you. But, like, that one hurts me. That one hurts me deep. So on that note, we're gonna go back from the beginning.
Okay.
And we're gonna go through our ties, and we're gonna talk about whether they're gonna remain ties or if we're going to assign a winner. Yeah, we're looking at it with more experienced eyes.
Yeah, and also distance.
And distance, yeah, because we're not actively fighting about it. Although turns out we need way more distance for Unforgiven, so we won't even
I don't think we should even go over Unforgiven, because I'm not changing my mind.
And I will forever think you're wrong.
So. Yeah, so we're just going to skip that one, because that one's changed, not changing.
So time for another hard one that's not changing. Guilty Pleasure, Howl's Moving Castle versus Sex and the City.
Actually, I'm willing to give you that win.
Why?
With the distance removed, I mm-hmm. still see things from Howl's Moving Castle, and it makes me smile, and I see references to it, and it's very cute, and it opened my mind and it opened my knowledge to a film genre that I didn't really know much about. So in hindsight, mm-hmm. Howl's Moving Castle has done a lot for me in the last 100 episodes.
Okay.
So I'm happy to give that to you.
Oh, okay.
I still love Sex in the City.
No, it's
never I still happen. Love Sex in the City, but I really did love Howl's Moving Castle now too.
Yeah. I mean, that's a category where I was content with a tie because it's guilty pleasure and it's to each his own, you know? Yeah. I like that she's updating the spreadsheet as we speak, and she's updating it in a different color to show that it's a reconsidered tie. I like that. Yes,
that's exactly what I'm doing.
Then the next one is Coming of Age. I submitted Can't Hardly Wait, and you submitted Big, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to Big.
Because you hated Big.
I still have so many issues with Big. Fundamentally, it boils down to that I didn't watch it when I was the target demographic.
Yeah.
And watching it as a 30-year-old, I was just like, there's red flags everywhere. How are they not seeing this? And it also, it blinded me to the fun joie de vivre of the movie. Like, there was a lot of fun shit going on, and I really harped on the fact that he was 13. Yeah. While I love Can't Hardly Wait.
Huh? And the sexual implications that were happening, because it was
weird. While I love Can't Hardly Wait, and I maintain that while Can't Hardly Wait is a dog shit film, it has a lot of love from people who really, who like those actors, who like that genre, yeah. who like that type of movie where it's following a bunch of people at one place. Mm-hmm. Like, I see people posting about Can't Hardly Wait on Twitter all the time. I think it's new to Netflix. It's been added in, April or March. Great. Yeah. So, it's dumb fun. In its purest sense, but as a coming of age movie, you don't get to focus on any one character's significant turn. You get a lot of major turns, but as Big, you see someone grow up. So I will give you that. I will give you that one.
Okay.
Next, we have we had three ties in a row. So it's Nerd Gets Hot. I submitted Sabrina, and you submitted Pretty Woman. And both of us made the argument for both movies. Neither of them are nerds.
Yep, correct.
So what we ended up what we called it internally was just movie makeovers.
Yes.
And again, we raised the argument of Audrey Hepburn does not need a makeover.
Also,
Julia Roberts does not need a makeover.
No, but I still argue that I think Sabrina's glow up wasn't as impressive as Pretty Woman's glow up.
What do you mean by glow up, though?
When Sabrina was, just the chauffeur's daughter, she was still relatively stylish, if not plain. Mm-hmm. She was still attractive.
Sure.
But in Pretty Woman, Julia Roberts, in the beginning, is extremely, not put together. She does not have the best clothes. She's a bit... She doesn't have her shit together. And as the movie goes, she not only... grows up and learns. Her clothes get better. Her hair gets better. Yada yada yada.
But so it's,
Sabrina, she started dressing better. But that was because she could afford nicer clothes.
But I think that Sabrina still has some emotional growth that similar to Pretty Woman. What is it, Vivian?
Yeah,
Vivian. I think the difference is that in Sabrina, she leaves and comes back, and then she's a different person.
Okay.
In Pretty Woman, you see it. You see the development. So I went by makeover as the makeover is done and now let's see the repercussions. Whereas you took makeover as the whole movie's a makeover.
Yeah. Okay, I can see how that correlates.
Yeah.
Here's my argument here.
Okay.
The category being nerd gets hot. Is an implication neither that the movie, nerds. But it's an implication that the focus is the person becoming hot.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, I'm still standing with Pretty Woman, although I understand how you're reasoning because we don't see Sabrina go through that transformation really,
mm-hmm.
but we saw Vivian do it.
Okay. Okay.
Again, I'm.
No, no,
know.
No.
I don't know.
No. Okay. I mean, I'll give it to you because that's a good argument.
Do you want to hold off and we can come back to it?
Well, no. I want to reconcile as many of these as we can.
Okay.
I don't like to leave ties. I'm going to give it to you. I'm still going to argue that I prefer Sabrina as a film, and I think it's a better film.
I think Sabrina is a wonderful film.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
but I think in terms of like a movie removed. Makeover or, yes. or I think that with Pretty Women showing the makeover and the emotional growth on screen, it fits the category a little better. I'll give it to
a
you.
Little better.
You know what? It's a great argument. You put forth a great argument. I'm just rewarding the argument, not the movie. You know, I'm not giving Julia Roberts shit. So,
no, but you'll give it to me.
I guess.
I'll take it.
So our next tie is female hero and female villain, where we had a streep off.
Oh, yeah.
So in hindsight, looking back at this, Into the Woods is still the worst thing in the whole world. So you're starting from below zero.
So much.
I hate it so much.
I know.
And I will also argue that, like, while the baker's wife is great, she's not the hero.
I was kind of okay. So
were you gonna say Cinderella was the hero because the baker's the hero?
No, I wasn't gonna say Cinderella is the hero, but I was gonna argue
that there's zero heroes, several heroes, several villains.
Yeah, and I decided that was dumb. So,
thank you for saying it.
Death Becomes Her. It was clever.
It's an insane movie.
It's fucking insane.
It's insane.
But
your argument was that in Death Becomes Her, I'm reminding you of what you said, because I'm sure you don't remember. Your argument is that there is no clear hero and no clear villain. That they become,
I think that holds. But I think that also applies to me.
Well, in your
that applies
movie,
to my
no,
movie too.
In your
there's
movie,
a clear
there's,
villain, but there's, not
there's
a clear,
clear
hero.
Villains, but they don't see themselves as the villain. In female hero and female villain, they start off as being their own champions. They're their own personal hero and then become their own worst enemies. I think we were just more excited to be like, you picked Meryl Streep, I picked Meryl Streep, Streep off! That we didn't really focus too much on the,
You know what?
I can't give it to Into the Woods, though, because I fucking hate it.
Yeah, but you
really
know what?
Hate it.
I can, but I can give it to Death Becomes Her.
Yeah?
Because, yes, I can.
Okay. Yes, I can. All right. Because you could also argue that Isabella Rossellini is a villain in it because she's got that whole weird death cult or whatever, but.
But you know, that's still a female villain.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, it's...
So then, So thank you. So then our next one, I think this one's going to stay a tie as well. We have In the Current Political Climate, All the President's Men versus Children of Men. It was a day of talking about men.
Ooh, but okay, yeah, Children of Men is such a, like, that movie fucked with me so bad.
Children of Men is a really good example of, like, one of the things you mentioned when we talked about it is that it's a possible future that nobody wants to think about.
Yeah.
That everyone is being optimistic, and you can be optimistic, or, you know, you can be denying it. But you also, like, at some point you have to be realistic about it, about the idea of widespread infertility, of global pandemics. Like, you have to be ready for the possibility that the world could end seemingly at any moment. What are you going to do? Or, excuse me, if you notice that there are certain indicators towards a possible apocalypse, maybe stop them.
Try.
Maybe, you know.
Can you try?
So I loved that argument when you gave it. Unfortunately, my argument really against it is that while it is a potential outcome, it's not really political. They don't really spend a ton of time talking about, like, oh, well, our leaders did blah, blah, blah. It's more of a result if a political thing goes badly. And I felt that, especially at this was episode 27. So at this point, there were a lot, this is when we were getting into stupid Watergate. Mm-hmm. As John Oliver calls it.
Yeah.
There were so many correlations between the corruption in Nixon's White House to the corruption in the current White House.
Yeah.
And so those are the parallels that I was, and you can still make those parallels.
Yes. And I will, but I will say my intention on Children of Men was to bring about the discussion of birth control, abortion, mm-hmm. and like women's reproductive rights.
That which are where, still, which yeah. is,
yeah. So I will say like that was my, in the current political climate. So it was less about a politician.
You picked a political issue. Yes. You picked a political issue as opposed to actual politics. Yeah. Which and I'm okay with keeping this one a tie because these are both great movies. And we both are very clearly passionate about the movie we selected. I'm perfectly okay with keeping this a tie because they both fulfill the category and they're both excellent movies.
Yeah, like, it wasn't that one I felt mine was better than yours or yours was better than mine. I think we can argue ourselves in circles for days about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we'll I also like All the President's Men is in like my top 10 favorite movies.
Yeah.
So I was already going in with a bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sometimes I can overlook my bias. I can't with Into the Woods. That's never going to happen. But with this one, like, I was trying to just not play it as one of my favorite, and Children of Men was never going to make it into my top 10 favorite movies, but it also was, like you said, it was incredibly compelling, and it was a lot to think about. So I'm okay with keeping this one a tie.
Yeah, me too.
Now, to I don't know what from to do. Really excellent movies to
I don't know what to movies. Do. I really don't know what to do about
Mother
this.
May I Sleep with Danger versus No One Will Tell.
I feel like Lifetime movies is similar to Guilty Pleasure, where we all have our own flavor, and Lifetime movies has something for everyone. It's the Baskin Robbins of TV movies.
So here's the crazy part is like my whole argument isn't based off of liking these movies because they're Lifetime movies. No one is like my favorite movie is a Lifetime movie. That person is a sociopath. Like it's not that I feel particularly strongly about Mother May I Sleep with Danger. It's just that it's a cultural staple. So like are they both Lifetime movies? Yes. Are they both everything that embodies the stereotype of a Lifetime movie? Yes. But Mother May I Sleep with Danger is, for many people, the go-to, what's a Lifetime movie that you know? Mother May I Sleep with Danger.
See, it's... and here's my argument against it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that way about it. I had never heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched Lifetime. I would set reminders on the calendar, and I mean like a calendar on the wall when there was Lifetime movies coming out that I wanted to watch. And like I hadn't heard about it. I didn't know anything about it. And No One Will Tell is a movie I saw in school multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I was in it.
Yeah.
And
no,
I think
I'm talking more like because I do a lot of the social media stuff.
Yes,
for the podcast. A lot more people know of Mother May I Sleep with Danger than No One Will Tell.
Sure.
So maybe it's just their endurance. Maybe it's their cultural their place in the zeitgeist. You know, maybe at the time No One Will Tell was more popular than Mother May I Sleep with Danger. Mother May I Sleep with Danger just got rebooted. It got rebooted like 2 or 3 weeks after we did this episode.
That's right.
They did a remake of it with Shannen Doherty in it.
That's
so
right.
It came back into the cultural zeitgeist.
Also true. I still don't want to switch, but I hear
oh, no,
what
we're
saying.
Keeping it as a tie because I already spent way too much energy defending a dog shit movie. Like, I don't want to keep going.
All right. We can go down to...
We're going to skip Good Film with a Low Rotten Tomatoes score because it's Empire Records versus Death to Smoochie, and I can't do it. When you're feeling a little bit lost... This one's also hard. Begin Again versus The Big Sick. And what it basically comes down to is that this, I think this one has to be a tie as well. Because
I have an argument too about why it should be a tie.
The category is for when you're feeling a little bit lost. So it implies personalization.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's music. And that's not music for you.
Yeah.
And like,
that was literally the argument I was going to make.
And here's like the crazy part is that like, I know that everyone has their own opinions and crap like that, but it doesn't compute when you tell me you're not a music person. Like it just doesn't. It's an error 404 in my brain. It doesn't make sense to me that you're not a music person. Like, and I remember, oh God, when I was dating my ex and we went on a camping trip with his best friend and his best friend's then girlfriend. And you know where this story is going. And we were listening to music and I put on a song and she was just like, oh, who's this? And I'm like, it's the Beatles. And it wasn't like an obscure Beatles track. It was like,
Yellow Submarine.
I think it was Come Together or yeah. Like it was recognizably the Beatles.
Yeah.
Like it was Hey Jude or some shit, you know? And she was just like, oh, I've never heard of them. The only music I know is what people give me. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry. You're how old and you've never heard of the Beatles. I wasn't asking her like, you know me, if you guys think I'm a pretentious movie person, wait until we talk about music because I'm unfathomably pretentious. It wasn't me doing that. I wasn't asking her to name the entire discography of the Beatles.
No, I remember you called me and you were like, I don't know how to handle this.
I'm stuck in a car with a person that has never heard of the Beatles.
And I was so confused. I was like, how? Because, like, I am not a music person.
But you've heard of the Beatles! My yes. Nieces are 11 and they've heard of the Beatles.
Yeah, like...
Like, it'd be the equivalent of being like, oh, I've never heard of this Beyonce person. Like...
Who's Taylor Swift?
I heard of this Kanye. Does that mean anything to you? Doesn't mean anything to me. Like,
do you watch The Office?
I've seen it.
Do you remember the episode where Dwight hears the name Justin Bieber and thinks it's Justice Bieber and it's a crime-fighting Bieber?
That's right.
That's yes. What it feels like.
Yeah. But, like, so bringing it back to my brain error, the fact that, like, And it never even occurred to me until we did Begin Again that this movie wasn't relatable to people other than people who are music people, because everyone's a music person. Everyone at some point can relate to this. And this was real role reversal where you were the minority.
Yeah.
You were this wasn't me being a pretentious shit.
No, the only music Barnum that I would say... Barnum just checked out
because he was not happy about
No, that. The only music that I would say I'm a music person about is theater.
Musicals.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
You sent me a photo of something. We were having a conversation about something a couple of days ago, and you sent me a photo of something that was for sale on iTunes, and the first thing I noticed... was that you were listening to the Hamilton soundtrack. Like, it was in the shot, and I was just like, motherfuck. That, there are other things! But that's, yeah. So, bringing it back to this is gonna have to be a tie, because when I feel a little bit lost, I want to go to, you know, let's all work together and create this beautiful music, and you want to go to, what's a true love story that breaks your heart and then mends it back together?
Yeah, and in this specific instance, it's because it's a... like chronic ill, it's like an illness.
Chronic illness as well.
Whereas, like, that's how I relate when I'm feeling a bit lost. It's usually because I'm sick and I don't know how to do about it, and there's no relief in sight. Right. So yeah, So it's a tie. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we move to Christmas movie.
Ooh.
We have The Shop Around the Corner and The Santa Claus.
Listen, I know you don't like The Santa Claus. I know that.
I'm going to give it to The Santa Claus because it is clearly the more famous and the more iconic Christmas movie. However, I will maintain it is crap. The Shop Around the Corner is such a beautiful movie. And the fact that it's inspiration for one of your favorite movies.
That's true.
Doesn't even matter. Nope. It's Jimmy Stewart at Christmas. And I'm that had nothing to you because Tim Allen wasn't there.
No. The Santa Claus I watch multiple times every Christmas.
And there's we watched this for my birthday week last year, and then last Christmas I did not watch the Santa Claus.
I did not,
but I did get to have the conversation of like, oh yeah, I've seen that now, because I remember someone at work was like, wait a second, did you just say now? You've seen that now? So yeah. I will give it to you just because, yes, they both fulfill the requirements of the category. Yes, The Shop Around the Corner is a better movie, but The Santa Claus is an iconic Christmas movie of the two. I'm giving you the same argument I gave you when we did Movie Before 1950. Did I enjoy Gaslight more than I enjoyed Duck Soup? They were about the same. But you picked an iconic classic movie. This, you picked an iconic Christmas movie. Yeah. And you didn't have a big pool to pick from.
No.
So,
Lord, no.
I'm not rewarding the category, I'm rewarding you. So then the next one is Unforgiven versus Ides of March.
Talking about.
I will kill you.
We're moving
if
on.
I have to keep doing that. This next one. Why are these characters not gay?
Oh.
The Craft versus Top Gun.
Ooh.
And I feel like this is a tie for all the right reasons. Same as in the current political climate. Like, it's a tie just because they both should be super gay and aren't.
Yeah.
Why are neither of these movies gay?
They both meet and exceed the requirements of the category.
They both achieved exceeds expectations on their owls, but why are they not gay? And the only argument I would have had for this is that when writing and developing The Craft, it was supposed to be hella gay. And the studio was like, yeah, no, it's not. It is the 1990s. We are not ready for that. Top Gun was not in the slightest meant to be homoerotic and yet exceeded so well. So, that was my only argument for The Craft.
Yeah, but I'm happy leaving them tied.
Oh, yeah, I'm happy leaving them tied because those are movies that when you think like, oh, it's a movie where the character should have been gay, those are in the top five. Like, if this is Family Feud, those are top answers.
Yeah.
Those are on the board, you know?
Yeah.
Then the next one, we're going to jump down to comedy special. We have Hannah Gadsby Nanette versus Eliza Elder Millennial.
I maintain, you showed me a TED Talk.
I maintain, you showed me a piece of crap disguised as a comedy special.
Have you seen at all that Eliza Schlesinger came out with a sketch comedy show?
I refuse to watch it. I don't like her comedy.
It was bad.
Yeah. And I've seen clips of her show. Like, there are clips of her show in those Facebook Watch, the constant clips or whatever. Yeah, yeah. They have clips from Elder Millennial and they have clips from her new one Unveiled. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm hashtag woke or I'm, more progressive in my comedy than you. It's not that. I don't need any more comedy that tells me how men and women are different. It's like the joke from The Simpsons, you ever notice how white guys drive like this and black guys drive like this? That's not funny anymore. It's done. We all know men and women are different and there are different things going on in their brains. Why you need to tell me men and women are different and do weird fucking noises while you do it, I'll never understand. Nanette, it did more long-form comedy. It did a lot more serious comedy where the jokes were dark because it was more of a, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
And realistically, if I didn't make you watch it for comedy special, I would have made you watch it for something else. It was something you needed to see.
Oh, 100%.
It was huge.
It was important
when it came out.
I saw it.
It won Emmys. It's won, I think it was nominated for a Peabody or something. It's won big awards. Did you laugh at it? No, I'll live. But you needed to see it.
I did need to see it. Also, do you remember who won the poll for that? Just out of curiosity.
No.
I did.
Weird.
I won the poll for that.
By how much?
I just wrote who won. I didn't write the percentages. Mm. Actually, I want to go back to see who won all the ties that we just changed.
Yeah, we'll do that in its own bonus episode then, because we're already running long.
We were worried we were going to have to fill time.
I know, right? I can't give it to Elder Millennial. I really can't. I didn't think it was funny. I didn't think it was funny. And, like, I there were some parts of it that I really enjoyed, but it wasn't the comedy part. I enjoyed how confident she was. I enjoyed the fact that she periodically, like, before telling a joke, would just be like, so by the way, women, you're allowed to do this. Own it. You know, be a feminist. Like, that's great. Awesome. But there weren't, it wasn't funny. And I got nothing out of it. And I think that even, like, I watched the Adam Sandler comedy special. And I got something out of it. And I couldn't get something out of Eliza Elder Millennial. I got something out of a fucking Adam Sandler comedy special.
I'm not just ready saying. To make a decision on this one. So can we leave it and review it another time?
Sure.
All right.
Because to me, this one's a win in my brain. Because you wouldn't have put it on unless I told you to watch it.
Yeah.
And it hit you.
Is this, yeah, this is one of the ones where you're just happy to have made me do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Then we have top 10 fave. This is one, we're getting into our more recent ones.
Yeah, this is episode 84.
84. I picked The Way, Way Back, and you picked Frozen 2. And this was one that we kind of, like, joked about while we were watching it. Preference. We were like, we're kind of walking into a tie because it's a top 10. It's super subjective.
Yeah.
I mean,
The Way, Way Back was really good.
I enjoyed Frozen 2 a lot more than I thought I was going to. I can't. First of all, I hate that that's what Idina Menzel's famous for. Like, out of all the shit she's done up until Frozen, you pick Frozen to give her the star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
So, like,
I saw her in concert when, like, 30 minutes was just Let It Go. I was like, all right, can we, you have so much other wonderful stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think that's part of the reason why I try to push myself away from Frozen is because, like, Frozen became a cultural phenomenon for young people, young kids, young boys, young girls. But as an adult, like, I don't want Jonathan Groff to be known as Kristoff from Frozen. I don't want Josh Gad to be known as Olaf the Snowman. He's Elder Cunningham, damn it. Like,
he's also LeFou.
Yeah.
Josh Gad is a lot of things, let's be real.
Exactly.
Josh Gad is a whole other thing.
Kristen Bell can't be known as Anna.
Yeah. I still maintain Jonathan Groff was a waste in that first fucking movie.
He
only got one song, and it was half a reindeer. Like,
right. So that's that, I mean, and that's personal. So, like, I really enjoyed Frozen 2, but, like, I can't see it making, for me, a top anything, even though I liked the story a lot better than I liked the second one. I thought the characters were much more developed. And I think when you picked this one, you were just like, it's what I need right now.
Yes, no, that was exactly it. I had just seen it.
You didn't realize really you bad. Weren't feeling well until you walked out and were like, I feel better.
Yes, I was in a really bad spot, and it fucking just hit me in the spot I needed it to move forward in life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, and because that was a very in the moment pick, but it stands tall. Like, I've watched Frozen 2 multiple times since we've done it. I still listen to the soundtrack. I'm still like, it still speaks to me. So I think we have to leave this where it is.
Okay.
Because again, it's subjective.
It's very subjective.
Subjective categories are a problem.
If it's a subjective category, I'm okay with it being a tie. I know that I'm not going to sway you into replacing a top 10 favorite movie. My argument is when their categories are relatively objective and then meet their requirements of the category, and then it gets into this murky subjective territory.
Yeah.
Unforgiven. The next one is True Crime. And this one is, I think you can't give it to me because it went too far. It's a Kill Bill situation for you. But my counter argument is, like, I'd give it to Kill Bill or Death to Smoochie if they didn't go too far. But The Informant was bad. Like, if you'd put up a good opposite.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't an even fight.
It wasn't. It wasn't even. If the fight was even close. Remotely more even, like if you had, first of all, it still to this day is mind-boggling to me that you went true crime and there's no murder. Like, you hear true crime and you think murder, and apparently you don't. You don't know that people love Mother May I Sleep With Danger. You don't know that people, when they say true crime, they mean murder. I don't know. You're not a music person. I don't know who you are anymore. No, I knew all of those things about you. It's just seeing them all cataloged like this on a spreadsheet is weird.
Yeah, when we put it all together, it makes me an impossible human. But yet...
You know, putting these all together, I'm looking pretty good. Like, it takes out the regular assholiness of every episode. And when you look at it rather logically, I can't give it to the informant. Because the informant was like, he was lying the whole time. And it was frustrating. And I don't like seeing Matt Damon looking like that. He doesn't need that. He doesn't need that belly. He doesn't need that mustache. Like, I can't do it.
And I'm not ready to give it to M. There has not been enough time removed.
Fair.
For me to revisit that.
No. That was only
87. That was only 13 episodes ago.
M is a lot.
It's a lot.
M is a lot. But I maintain M is such a good movie. It's got so much going on that you gotta see. And that was our last tie.
That was our last tie. So do you want to know our new scores?
Yes, let's do it.
You went from 59 to 61.
Woo!
I went from 27 to 30.
Woo!
Our ties went from 14 to 9.
Awesome. So you got more of the points. Yeah?
Yeah, I got 3 points. You got 3 points. So we both got 3.
Oh.
No, you got 2. I'm sorry, you got 2.
I was like, I don't know if that's how math works.
No, you got 2.
I got 2. You got 3.
It's because I have multiple
lists, so they're just throwing you off. Yeah, no. Yeah. Now it looks more even. I've won twice as many as you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. All right. And then when we revisit this in 50 episodes,
And while we're talking about this, before we move on to a new tab, our polls on our Facebook page.
Yes.
We have a crazy amount of ties over there because a lot of our more recent polls, the only people who voted were you and me.
Oh, that's depressing.
So you've won 42 polls. Uh-huh. I've won 40. And we've tied 13 times.
So here's what's fun is originally when we started this out, I think when we did episode 20 and episode 50, you were just like, I'm not winning here, but I'm winning in the polls.
Yep.
And then we got to episode 50 and we were like,
I was still.
But you're not, though.
No. So I have them all trained. So every 10 episodes, there's like an update.
Tally.
I was consistently, 11, 19 to 17, me, 25 to 21,
I see here,
me.
60.
30 to 26.
And that's still,
it's still pretty even.
It's close.
But then you started
hit around
episode 8, it started balancing to the point where we were literally going 40, 41, 41, 42, 44. Like, it was just.
Yeah. So where are we at now?
42.
You said this already, right?
Yep. 42 you, 40 me, and 13 ties. But most of those ties are because you and I were the only ones who voted.
Yeah.
So they don't really count.
We got to get a little bit better at self-promotion. So now that we've been talking to you for 90 years now, let's move into the rest of our categories. So we're going to go into Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
We put a lot of stake in our Rotten Tomatoes scores, but we also are really we always have the asterisk with it is that, if we notice that an audience score is significantly higher, significantly lower, we point it out.
Last week.
Yeah.
For Love of the Game had a really shitty critic score, but it was well loved by the audience.
Yeah, and it was well loved by the baseball bros. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not because I'm pretentious. I tend to side with the critics more than I side with the audience.
Yeah.
I tend to approach films with a more critical mind. Yeah. So I tend to agree more with their things. And as it turns out, our average scores aren't that far apart.
No.
I'm at 75% is my average score.
And I'm at 72%.
As we talked about last week, 75% is the bare minimum for certified fresh. Mm-hmm. So I'm at 75 and you're a 72. So that's not too far off. Yep. The only major difference is that I noticed when I was reviewing these is I have a lot of really high and then a lot of really low, and they kind of meet in the middle. Yours are all kind of like stacked in the middle.
Yeah. I'm so an average I've got student. I am a hard average student.
Yeah.
You either really succeed or really fail.
And typically the categories where I quote really fail is where I'm supposed to be
really fail. Yeah.
So movie 43 has a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes. Mm-hmm. It was for the worst movie you've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be low. I still maintain that that one we shouldn't count, but whatever. I highlighted some of the higher ones because I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oops.
I can do it too. Hold on.
5, 6, 7. 7 movies that have hit 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Are you just counting hundreds, or are you counting everything over 90?
That's just 100%. I have 7. So I highlighted on mine, I highlighted in yellow ones that are over 95%, and then I highlighted in a gray the ones that are over 90. Because, like, being in the 90s is really good, but being in that top 5% means that you have maybe 1 or 2 negative reviews overall. Yeah. So in total, let's see, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think my
closest is 98.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 movies over 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. Out of 100, not a great score.
What was it? How many?
I have 21 over 95%.
Okay, I'm still...
Because I can see some of your highlights are... So let's just take a second.
Remove everything less than 95?
Well, you're already highlighting... Yeah, I separated it because I did mine ahead of time. So I did everything that's over 95 in yellow and everything that's between 90 and 95 in gray.
Okay, so I'm going
to
do
this. And then you also have a couple of instances. It only happened to you... where your movie has no score.
Yep. Because they were not released in theaters.
Yep, and I'm pretty sure we made a note that those are supposed to be zeros, but you just didn't put anything in.
Well, no, because if I made them zeros...
It would lower your score, yes.
Yeah, and so I decided I didn't want to do that.
Yeah, but you don't get to make that decision. We made that decision together.
I disagree with that decision.
Yeah, no, that's not how that works. You made the decision to do it. I had a movie that was at 0% that I had to put in a 0 because it didn't have a rating, didn't I? Mother May.
I thought I changed it.
No. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I thought Mother May I Sleep with Danger didn't have one, but it did. Because it's culturally relevant. No. But I knew that it was just yours. So I also could have sworn that you had one that was at 100%, but it's weird that The Godfather is 98.
No, I think 98 is my highest.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm putting...
It's all right. I'm adding on to yours as well.
Different things. I'm putting everything above 95 in blue.
Oh. Whatever colors work for you, man.
Yeah, I just click random things.
Fair enough. But yeah, like I was saying, is like I've got some that are really, really high. I have 7 movies on my list at 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. 100% is a really hard score to get because it means that there's one negative score, maybe. And to be fair, a few of my 100% are older movies where the critics are writing with the benefit of hindsight. They're not writing it at the time. So at the time, there were plenty of movies like Gone with the Wind was super popular. Citizen Kane wasn't as popular. Mr. Smith Goes to Washington wasn't. It's a Wonderful Life. That's the one I was thinking of. It's a Wonderful Life was irrelevant when it came out. And it wasn't until they were trying to show movies on TV that they were like, oh yeah, we got this Christmas one with Jimmy Stewart, I guess. Let's do that. And that's when it became a Christmas staple.
I have 13 above 95%.
That's good.
And then 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
You're missing some of your 90%. 13, 14, 15, 16,
17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 27. And I counted the ones that weren't marked. 27 mm-hmm. above 90.
That's good.
That's a really decent percentage.
Yeah.
But again, my highest is 98, which is The Godfather.
The Godfather, E.T.
The 98? Big Sick. The Big Sick, Apocalypse Now.
Jaws.
E.T., Jaws.
I'm starting from the bottom.
I'm going from the top. But even, like, Big is 97%. Mm-hmm. Monty Python is 97%. The Godfather, mm-hmm. Moonlight. The Best Worst Movie. Is 95%. Mm-hmm. Lost in Translation. Yeah. I mean, I had some solid ones, but majority mm-hmm. of mine are pretty middle of the road, like you said.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and so like I noticed that a lot of my if I play this game the Mandy way, I get middle of the road picks, so to speak. So if I play this the Mandy way where I pick a movie I like, just for the fact of liking it. Like I'm looking at Swing Kids. That was the film where Nazis get beat.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, I think Mandy's gonna like it because they're just kids having fun, and it's Robert Sean Leonard and Christian Bale, and they're dancing to resist against Nazism. It's fun. It's 50%. Mm-hmm. But then when I say, oh, we're gonna watch, a good non-Disney animated cartoon. Which I think was animated movie, but we decided it was going to be non-Disney, and then I put up fucking Secret of Nim. It's 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's, it's different. But I think overall, like, the expectation was that mine would be really high and yours would be really low, and it turns out that, like, the everyday people person, the everyday moviegoer,
yeah.
And they tend to side pretty heavily with the movies that you've selected. So just because I'm a pretentious movie person and you're an average movie person, like you're the Joe everybody in terms of, movie critics.
Yeah.
You still get, you still pick really, it doesn't mean that.
Yeah, my score drops to 70% when I put those zeros back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I mean, overall, like, the movies you're picking, they're all right. You're doing all right. I'm trying to say this, I don't mean this patronizingly. I'm trying to say it like...
It kind of sounded that way. I know you didn't mean it that way.
It did kind of sound that way because I couldn't think of the right words. But, like, just because it's and it's the argument that everyone has at the Oscars every year, is, like, just because a movie's really well-liked by audiences doesn't necessarily... Movies can be good and movies can be fun. And it's really hard to make a good movie that is also fun, but yes. It can be done. And your list has a number of them.
Yes.
So next we're going to jump to year. This one is really fun.
Yeah.
Because there's such a disparity between your list and mine.
Oh yeah.
And it's a really fun disparity to look at. So we broke it down. We're going to have to add another category for 2020s.
Oh my God, we will.
Another decade. So we broke it down by decade, how many movies we had selected from each decade. And obviously, as I expected, for both of us, most of the movies that we've selected are 2010s. And it's really because that's when we were, full force in our 20s. That's when we were...
We had disposable income to do what we wanted to do, which meant
I didn't hear a single thing you just said.
I said we had disposable income, so we were able to go and spend our money on things we wanted to spend our money on.
And it's also when I, maybe not we, but like I made the decision in my 20s to get into movies. And I decided movies are something I like. Movies are something I want to make, you know, I want to spend more time watching and doing. So it makes sense that the movies that I'm watching recently are inspiring me to watch original versions.
Yeah.
So, and then what's really interesting about your list is that most of your list is really front-loaded towards recent movies, but you have them really spread out between 2000s, 90s, and 80s a lot more than I do, just because you can see 80s and 90s, those are the movies that your parents liked.
Yeah.
And then 2000s, those are the movies, like, I'm just looking really quickly at this list. Your 2000s movies, you have Tropic Thunder, Sex and the City, and Anchorman. You got to pick the movie now.
Yep.
So that's really, really interesting. Mine are fairly, 2010s is really where all of mine are front-loaded in there.
What I really enjoy is your 1940s. You have five movies from the 1940s.
Yeah.
Which is your most before the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I only have 10 movies total before the 80s, and 8 of them are from the 70s.
Yeah.
I have one movie from the 30s and one from the
60s.
It's fun. But yeah, most of my movies, 63 of my 100 movies, are 2000s or newer.
Yeah. Yeah. So just to break it down all the way, I have one movie from the 1930s, 5 from the 1940s, 4 from the 1950s, 2 from the 60s, 2 from the 70s, 10 from the 80s, 19 from the 90s, 18 from the 2000s, and 39 from the 2010s.
Yeah. I have, like I said, one from the 30s, none from the 40s, none from the 50s, one from the 60s, 8 from the 70s, 12 from the 80s, 15 from the 90s, 30 from the 2000s, and 33 from the 2010s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a fun breakdown. And I, like, how else are you, that's what, 10 movies between 1930 and 1950 that you never would have seen.
Yeah.
Never would have even crossed your mind to see.
Yeah. And I'm better off for having seen them, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Just as an example of what else there is. Well, and for example, like you've had me watch quite a bit of 80s movies. You're slightly higher. My 80s movies are like 80s on accident. Like 80s Akira. Unironically. Yeah. Yeah. Yours are very 80s. Your 80s movies are very 80s.
Yeah.
Like Field of Dreams, Big Trouble in Little China, and Big. I'm just looking at the top of the list. You have very 80s movies. Whereas I have the first 80s one on my list is Akira. Yeah. So next we're gonna go into time, so runtime. Last week we were joking with each other that we both picked obscenely long movies, and we did. Mine was 2.5 hours. It's 2 hours and 34 minutes.
2:19
And to start, you were picking, like, you had the monopoly on the long movies.
I was an asshole about it.
I mean, I didn't get the impression.
You want to be pretentious? I'm going to fake and make you watch a 3-hour movie, you bitch. Like, that's what it was.
I mean, I didn't get the impression right away that you were like, oh, well, if I can't pick a good movie, it's at least going to be long.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think that's the vibe you were going for.
I didn't know what I was going for a little
bit. But, like, it just ended up, I mean, it just ended up happening that, like, we hit episode 10 is the actor's greatest role. And I had you watch Dr. Strangelove, and it's like 1.5 hours. It's 1:35. And you were like, I'm having you watch The Godfather because it's like 4 different people's greatest role. By the way, it's 3 hours long. What? Okay.
Well, that was only 2 episodes after, or 3 episodes after, I made you watch a 2.5 hour Sex and the City movie.
Yeah, you had made me watch the extended edition of Sex and the City.
4 weeks before I made you watch Braveheart. So
what? Braveheart was that early? Braveheart was at
Braveheart was 3 hours long. Yeah.
I think I suppressed Braveheart. Kung
Fury, which was only 30 minutes.
Yep. I will watch Braveheart again.
But then made you watch Wolf of Wall Street, which was
three hours. Yeah. You you're all over the place.
I really am.
Minor average. I know, right? Minor average, 1.5 to 1 hour 45. I don't often go over 2 hours, and usually when I do, it's only by a few minutes. I do have some notable ones, like Ready Player One was 2 hours and 20 minutes. Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, I think, is my longest still at 2 hours and 38 minutes. Goodfellas is 2 hours 26. There could be 19 hours of Goodfellas, and it's not enough Goodfellas, in my opinion. Kingsman the Golden Circle is 2 hours 21 minutes. The first one's 209, and it's way better. It's way better. And just scrolling through, The Firm, 2 hours 34 minutes. It really quickly hit like number 2, second longest movie.
Yeah, I actually think my longest movie was The Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, that one was over 3 hours. How long was
3 hours? Oh. And 22 minutes.
What I was thinking was when you had me watch Apocalypse Now, because there's the director's cut, and you were like, I refuse.
That's like 6 hours long, and I'm not watching.
Yeah, but we hadn't seen it, and our rule is that Waterworld's stupid long, too, isn't
Waterworld
it?
Waterworld was also 3 hours long.
Yeah, but our rule is that if there are separate editions, if there's a theatrical edition, a director's cut, extended edition, we... excuse me, make the other watch the one we've seen. Mm-hmm. So for Apocalypse Now, yeah, there is one that's like 5 hours.
But that's not
you
the
hadn't
one I
seen
thought.
It. No. So we I was spared. Oh Brother, Where Art Thou was pretty long too at 1:48.
Yeah. American Hustle was over 2 hours.
It was dog shit. 2 hours of dog shit.
Right. Well, also, Sharknado was over 2 hours long.
Why? What are you doing? Why are you pointing out those ones?
Because I find it funny.
Because you can. The Matrix was over 2 hours. The Matrix was 2 hours and 16 minutes. Mm-hmm. I have to turn my camera slightly.
I'm crazy, truly, because...
Fantasia was over 2 hours.
To have my longest be well over 3 hours, but my shortest be 30 minutes.
I mean, I already knew you were a sociopath, but that's okay.
I'm not a sociopath. I'm just crazy.
Yep. I also want to point out that Bram Stoker's Dracula was 2 hours and 8 minutes.
That's true.
And that's 2 hours and 8 minutes that you're never going to get back, because that movie is just a hot vampire orgy mess.
Speaking of, Super Mario Brothers. That...
had no business being an hour and 45 minutes.
No, not at all.
Overall, we did our average runtime.
Yeah.
So Mandy has the one that's almost 4 hours, and then she has one that's 31 minutes. So it's the opposite of the Rotten Tomatoes scores, where she's got the highs and the lows, and mine are all concentrated in the middle. So her average runtime for a movie is 1 hour, 53 minutes.
Yeah.
And mine's not far behind. Mine's 1 hour, 48 minutes. Well, those 5 minutes can make a difference. The number of times we were like, if they could have just had 5 more minutes for exposition, or 5 more minutes to do this.
Yeah. Or cut 5 minutes from this scene to just move it along.
Yeah.
Five minutes
can make all the difference.
It's really funny how our overall numbers are so close, but drastically different.
I mean, like, it's nice to look at it as it's nice to look at averages, but it's also nice to take into the comparisons too. So yeah. Like the movie that I put against for Kung Fury was Ghost World, and that was almost 2 hours. That was 1 hour 51.
Yeah.
And then when we get to like your longer ones, so Apocalypse Now, I picked Ready Player One. That was the category of recommended by a friend and hated it. So you have me watch a 3 hour movie at 3:16, but I still give you a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah. Well, let's also consider episode 33, where The Curious Case of Benjamin Button up for 2 hours and 45 minutes, and you gave me Pirates and Adventures with Scientists at a solid hour and a half.
Yeah. And I maintain that movie's amazing. Like, I don't care. I don't care that movie is made for children and, like, made for young children. And I don't care. I don't care at all. There is something about that movie that just makes me smile every time I see it or think about it or be like, it's ham night. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm going to laugh. I'm going to smile. Yeah. It makes me feel better. Deal with it.
You know what? I just want to throw out there. So Tron is an hour and a half.
Yeah.
It does not feel like an hour and a half. And I don't mean it like it drags. I mean, like, it felt like a 2 hour, 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, it did.
Because it compressed everything into so little time.
Yeah. But there are some movies that you don't realize that they're that long. I remember Kyle reminded me of it when I'm playing Animal Crossing and my island name is Genovia, which is from The Princess Diaries. And he was like, yeah, isn't that movie like stupid long? And I was like, what? No, it's The Princess Diaries. It's like an hour and a half. No, it's an hour 58. Like, that's a 2 hour movie. Get me wrong. I'm ready for the extended where they do all 10 books. But like, sometimes you don't realize how long the movie is. Yeah. Like, why is Mermaids an hour 50, but Empire Records is an hour 30? It's insane. It's fun.
Yeah. Well, also, why is Sex and the City 2.5 hours when Dunkirk is an hour 45?
Right? They got World War II done. World War I. They got World War I done in an hour 40. What does the sex need 2.5 hours for?
You got three different versions of the same war in an hour 45. But you can't do four women's sex lives in less than three.
Right? Have you seen 1917? Side tangent.
No, Anthony has, and he loves
it. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful movie. I will have you watch it. It's the cinematography is stunning.
Oh, absolutely. I just couldn't. Stunning. I couldn't do it in my current state. I can't.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to make you watch it in 10 minutes, but we'll get there. We'll get there. All right, so the last thing that we're going to do is we have our own special stats. Yes. So, Mandy, why don't you go first?
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Tom points.
Yeah, my dad points. So, as of 100 episodes.
Explain what the Tom points are.
Okay, so anyone
it's been 50-plus episodes.
Yeah, since so anyone who doesn't know, my father loves entertainment. Whether it be books, music, movies. So he is a man who controls the remote.
Yes.
The only joy in my father's life is television.
Yes.
So it's a lot of movies. So a lot of my movie history and knowledge comes from him.
Comes from the movies that you he's had to watch me. Or you, yeah.
He's made me watch, he's had me watch that we watched together.
Well, as I say, that you had to watch or that you had to go upstairs. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was a running joke because episode one, Field of Dreams.
Was a dad pick, was a Mitch
right.
pick.
Oh, that's right. People call him Mitch.
Some people call him Mitch, some people call him Tom.
I like Mitch pick better.
Mitch pick, yeah.
I mean, I was digging Tom points, but Mitch pick sounds better.
I also extended it into a mom pick too, because there are some movies that my mom made me watch, like Road to Perdition,
mm-hmm.
when I was way too young to see this movie in theaters. So we have a list, and of the 100 movies that we've watched so far, 25 of them I can attribute to Mitch. A fourth of my movies have been Mitch picks.
So, nice.
I'll go from episode one. I'm just going to read them. His.
Okay.
Field of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Big Trouble in Little China. Monty Python, Life of Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Big. Pretty Woman. The Godfather. Braveheart. My Girl. Three Men and a Baby. Aaron Brockovich. E.T. Death to Smoochie. The Three Amigos. Top Gun. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, Jaws, Super Mario Brothers, Heartbreakers, The Godfather Part 2, Duck Soup, A Few Good Men, Baby's Day Out, Waterworld, Oh Brother Where Art Thou, and For Love of the Game.
I think it's interesting too, like hearing you list off all those movies, most of them 80s, 90s, 2000s. Yeah. Some 2000s, some 70s, some, you know, some current, some older. That's where your 80s and 90s picks come from. And, some of them you're happy to pick, Some of them you're like, oh, I got the perfect one. My dad made me watch this. It's perfect. Some of them you're like, I have nothing else to pick. My dad made me watch this. I guess it's this.
Yeah. I mean, and it's a lot of like movies that I watched when I was too young to fully understand them.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of these movies I'm actually watching for the first time as an adult.
And so you have a different perspective.
Exactly. Like,
yeah.
For Love of the Game. I had not seen it since I was a kid.
And when you were a kid, we talked about this, you cared more about baseball, but like 31-year-old Mandy loves romances. So we had a really fun discussion about the romance.
And Baby's Day Out, that was a perfect movie for him and I because it was I could understand it. And now, as an adult, when I rewatch it, I see more intricacies of it.
Intricacies.
I use the term lightly. But then there's Duck Soup. My father loves the Marx Brothers. So we had all the Marx Brothers VHS tapes, and I used to watch them. I'm still surprised that you've never really watched Marx Brothers.
Because I maintain that either your family likes the Marx Brothers or they like the Three Stooges and never the two shall meet.
Oh, my house, 100%, the two shall meet.
Yeah.
But my dad is a special human being.
Yes. So he's all consuming. And I can't
tell him you said that.
Yeah, but I mean that in a nice way. I don't mean it like...
No,
Galactica,
I
the planet that's going to devour. No,
he is all consuming. It's true.
But I loved Duck Soup. I thought Duck Soup was so much fun. And I remember growing up thinking the Three Stooges were so dumb. And it was only as an adult, when I worked at nursing homes and stuff, that I was like, oh, this is mildly entertaining.
Yeah.
And then we go into my category, which is super fun. It just ended up happening that within the top 10, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of my first 10 movies for this podcast were based on books. And one of them, to bring it up to 7, was based on a play. So I read a lot of books, and Hollywood is really desperate for ideas. So my category or my list is movies that are based on books. I have based on books, based on plays, and based on comics and graphic novels. So of my 100 movies that I've selected, 36 of them are based on a book. 8 of them are based on a play or a screenplay, not remakes or reboots, not sequels.
Yeah, they're adaptations of other
ones. Yeah, so maybe there's a screenplay for a movie that never went out. Or it was a screenplay that they read, but they're not basing it off, whatever. And then I have 6 that are based off of comics or graphic novels, which brings me to a total of 50 movies on my 100 based on books, plays, screenplays, and comics or graphic novels. So now here's the fun one that I get to do. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I'm watching her scroll.
8. Do, 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 do. This makes for great audio content. 9, 10.
This is what I love about having 11. Shared drives, because we can see each other work while we're working.
12. 13. 14. 15. I also look super smug while I'm doing this.
Oh, I can't see her face because her microphone's just 17, in front of it.
18, 19.
Are you 20, counting your wins or what are you doing?
No. 21 of them are books that I've already read. So of the 50 that are based on books, plays, or comic books or graphic novels, 21 of them are based on books, whatever, that I've already read as well. So less than half.
So you have some reading to do, Missy.
Yes and no. I'm not going to read the ones that are based on plays or screenplays.
All right, fair enough.
I read Thomas Mallory's Mort d'Arthur for the King Arthur one. I don't need to read the original French short story for Cinderella. I'm cool. I got my pretentious factor. I'm good.
All right.
So, yeah, half of mine are based on books, and a little less than a quarter of them are books I've actually read. So there are, in the case of episode 1 and the case of episode 100, I picked based on a book that I have also read. It's a nice bookend.
Yeah, no, I mean, I really...
That play on words for you.
Yeah. I also really did like the redo of episode 1 for our 100th. Was a brilliant idea that you had.
Thank you.
Because, first of all, it was clever. And second of all, I needed the redo. Because I don't outwardly say how shamed I am, but I'm shamed from that. I'm still shamed 100 episodes later from that nonsense.
So. I contribute to that shame. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
There are,
you're the
there
only
are,
one that contributes look, to that shame.
There are plenty of things that you feel bad about that I encourage you to not feel bad about. That is one that I actively remind you that you fucked up and you need to do better next time.
And I did. I thought I redid myself pretty
recently. And you did. And you did. I mean, I'll give you that. But, like, it didn't go away. We still remember. It's still in our brains.
We will never forget. Never, never forget. Never give never up. Forget. Never surrender.
Clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose. I don't know. I'm so out of it now.
We've had such a day.
It's been a day. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Me Versus You. We will be back next week with a new episode where we actually discuss movies. Next week's category is fun family film.
Yes.
Because we're still, yeah, we didn't let the jar pick this one. I was cleaning and I don't remember where I put the jar while I was cleaning. So
we have to take control of our own destiny.
And we decided to do some quarantine fun. We just needed something light and easy. So we're going to watch some fun family films for next week and enjoy ourselves. And you can join us if you subscribe and follow our podcast. We are hosting on Anchor FM, but we're also on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Pocket Casts, anywhere pretty much that there's a podcast, we're there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow us on Spotify. You can follow, if you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, it downloads automatically once the episode goes live. So that's super convenient. We also ask that you tell your friends about us. I know that I have, you know, just gone into people's phones and started downloading podcasts for them because I'm a good friend. I'm not saying you have to use my aggressive tactics, but maybe sharing us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Facebook and Twitter at Me Versus You Podcast. We're on Instagram at Me Versus You Pod. Send links to your friends. Invite them to like our Facebook page or follow us on Twitter. Just spread the word about us. Word of mouth is one of the best ways to get our podcast out there. And if I want to beat Mandy in more polls, we need to have more people voting in the polls so that they're not just one-on-one polls.
Because then we're just going to tie for the rest of the...
We're just going to tie for the rest of humanity.
And neither of us win in that scenario. Neither of us enjoy tying. So.
I mean, you don't win, so I win.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Me Versus You. Don't forget to head on over to our Patreon for some video content.
I guess.
We
do video content. We post a lot of bonus content over. If you're subscribing during quarantine, it's a great time for you because not only are there 100 episodes on our main feed, you can go over to Patreon and have over 20 hours of exclusive bonus content for the cost of a cup of coffee a month. We know you're not going out and going to Starbucks. You're not spending that coffee money. You can give it to two of your friends who also happen to be friends who complain about movies and enjoy themselves while doing it.
Yeah, we have a lot of silly best friend time, and we like to share it with other people.
Yeah.
And we found that most people enjoy our best friend time when they don't have to try to get a word in edgewise, because it doesn't happen. So, listening to us talk is far better than trying to have a conversation with us.
It's more convenient, really.
Much more, much more.
Yeah.
Our poor partners just kind of, like, don't even try anymore.
I don't feel bad for Kyle. Like, you say it, like, you say, yeah, I don't. He should know by now. It's been how long? Like, Kyle adapted really quickly once I was like, oh, yeah, you guys are the same person. You have the same opinion on things, like, 90% of the time. He was like, yeah, all right, cool.
Yeah.
Weed? Like, Anthony's me. We're just more of, like, hostile of other smart people because we always want to be the smart person in the room. That's what it is. It's like an open hostility slash admiration.
Yeah, I was like, you appreciate each other, but you don't want to, like...
If we're together for too long, we start a I'm the smartest one in the room contest. It happens.
And no one wins.
No one wins.
No one wins.
Like, even if technically there's a winner, nobody wins.
No, it's... Especially not me.
No, especially not. But, like, I don't feel bad for Kyle for not understanding our friendship and our not being able to get in a word in edgewise. He knew what he signed up for. Anthony's had how long to figure this out? He's just choosing not to at this point. He's just purposely being stubborn. And I can't condone that.
You can't?
No, I will not. Up with this, I will not put. Okay?
Okay.
You're giving me a weird look.
I don't know what to do now.
Look, I'm not making you choose. We got married last episode. I don't have to make you.
That's true. That's true.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Me Versus You. We will be back next week with fun family films. Bye.
Bye. We just wanna party.
Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Look how I'm living up. Police be tripping up. Yeah, this is America. Guns in my area. I got the strap. I gotta carry 'em. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go into this. Yeah, yeah, this is gorilla. Yeah, yeah, I'ma go get the bag. Yeah, yeah, or I'ma get the pad. Yeah, yeah, I'm so cold like, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm so dull like, yeah. We gon' blow like, yeah. Slipping up, look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. Look how I'm geeking up. I'm so fitted. I'm on Gucci. I'm so pretty. I'm gonna get it. Watch me move. This is Sally. That's a tool. On my Kodak. Black. Know that.
Yeah.
100 bands. Contraband. I got the plug on with Hawker.
Whoa.
They gonna find you like Baka Blah.
America, I just checked my follow and listen. You motherfuckers owe me.
Get your money, black man.
Get your money, black man.
Get your money, black man.
Get down.
buckle, ayy. This is black man, this world. An expensive foreign aid. Just a big dog, yeah. My Kindle came in a backyard. My barbarian life took off. Barbarian life.